The women went to the tomb, but they couldn't find Jesus. Oh, yes, where has he gone to? He is risen and went to Galilee. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus has risen. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart. Our lesson this morning is taken from the book of Matthew 28, 1 to 20. Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel told the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests of all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed him. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Kate. Let's pray as we look at this together. Father, as Kate told us, today if we hear your voice, help us not to harden our hearts. Father, would that voice that said, "Greetings, do not be afraid," that same voice, would it speak to us today, Lord? Would your spirit give us ears to hear the voice of the risen Lord Jesus, that we might see him in his glory and worship him. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I wonder what the best news you have ever heard is. The claim of that first Easter is, "This is the greatest news that you could possibly ever imagine, let alone think of." It is the sort of news that turns sorrow, turns tears into great joy. The sort of news that turns death into life. The sort of news that turns a wretched sinner into a forgiven child. The sort of news that turns lives upside down, transforms these women and these disciples, that moves them from sorrow to joy to going out in great boldness because Jesus Christ is risen as Lord of heaven and earth. That first Easter is all about Jesus. He died on Good Friday. He rose again on Easter morning. The angel said, "He is not here, for he has risen," just as he said he would. I don't know what you make of this. Maybe you're here this morning as a real skeptic. Really glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming. You belong here. Maybe you're here this morning as one of those who doubt, have questions, wrestling with this. You are not alone. Even those on the mountain who saw Jesus doubted. Maybe you're here this morning feeling a bit fearful. Maybe you're beginning to feel some of that great joy. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is Matthew's claim that he wants us to know. Not just that he rose from the dead, but that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. There is no one like him. You and I both know that people don't normally come back from the dead. And maybe you're thinking this morning, this is all just a bit too unreal. How can anyone possibly believe this? Jesus' followers knew that too. They knew that dead people don't come back to life. They weren't expecting him to come out of that tomb. And yet, that is what they saw. And here's the thing, Matthew doesn't really dwell on the evidence for the resurrection. He doesn't feel that he needs to defend it or justify it to you and me. Presumably because he thought there was so much evidence for it. At the time, you could go and speak to one of the 500 people who saw Jesus after he died. You could go and ask them, did it really happen? What was it like? Matthew is more interested in what it means for you and me. 3 points today. Verses 1 to 10, he has risen. Worship him. 11 to 15, he has risen, so do not fear. Verses 16 to 20, he has risen, so go and tell. First point, verses 1 to 10, he has risen, so worship him. The first witnesses to the resurrection were two women that Matthew tells us about, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. I'm sure she got used to be called that. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary. The gospel writers, they don't try to make the witnesses look impressive. In our society, we take it for granted that men and women have equal status. Equal legal status, we take it for granted. But in biblical times, the evidence of a woman was not accepted in court. And yet the first witnesses that Matthew speaks of were two women. Their testimony wasn't valid then because they were women. Nowadays, their testimony isn't deemed to be valid because it's too old to be reliable. But Matthew is unashamed about it because it is what happened. The risen Jesus meets them, and their response is there in verse 9. They came up to him, they took hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. Now I suspect none of us have ever met someone who rose from the dead. The closest I have come to that is seeing someone that I love wake up after a 25-minute seizure. I cried with them, I hugged them, but I didn't worship them. But that is exactly what the two Marys do here. They go and they fall at his feet and they worship him. I imagine a million emotions must have been running around their heads. All of those different ups and downs of the last few days, but their instinct before the risen Jesus is to fall before him, grasp his feet, to bow before him, to worship him. These women have been mentioned a couple of times in the previous verses. They have seen the events of the last few days. Matthew goes to great odds to show us that. If you've got your Bibles open, we're on page 1006. Matthew 27, verse 56. They are among those who saw Jesus crucified. They're looking on from a distance. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. They saw him die. Verse 61, they saw him buried, laid in a tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Just a brief aside, our Muslim friends would say that it wasn't Jesus who died on the cross. And it certainly wasn't Jesus that was buried in the tomb. But Matthew doesn't let us draw that conclusion. He goes to great lengths to show that these two women knew Jesus. They recognized him. They saw their friend die on the cross. They saw his body laid in a tomb. In fact, all the passers-by, you read through chapter 27 and you see again and again people recognizing Jesus, knowing that it is him and mocking him. These two women knew that it was Jesus who was buried. They saw him. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, towards dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. They're just before dawn on the first day of the week, on the cusp of a new era in world history. And they witness the most extraordinary thing. An earthquake. An angel of the Lord descends from heaven. The great stone is rolled back and an angel sits on it. His appearance like lightning. Clothing as white as snow. He is dazzling, bright, pure, awesome, terrifying. One writer says, the angel comes with the majesty of God. And mortals can't stand before him. So those hardened guards tremble, their knees give way. They become like dead men in the presence of heaven's holy messenger. If that is what they are like before the angel, imagine what it would be like in the presence of the one whom angels worship, before heaven's risen king. The women don't fall before the angel. They don't fall in fear and they don't in worship, because the angel speaks a word of peace to them in verse 5. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. It's the same place where just a few verses earlier they saw Jesus being laid. It was the same tomb that they had sat opposite. They knew Jesus' body was put in there, but now it is empty. There is nothing there. I wonder if you know what this is a picture of. Anyone know this picture? Anyone recognize that place? The Garden Tomb. Yeah, it's a place in Jerusalem. In modern day Jerusalem. one of the places where they think Jesus might have been buried, but we're pretty certain this isn't where he was buried. More likely, it was another place where there is a big church now, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, but we're far from sure. That is really unusual, isn't it? Because we know where famous people are buried. We know where Bach is buried. You can go to Sudfriedhof and find Kurt Mazur's grave. I went on a school trip to Russia and went to Red Square. And you can go to Lenin's mausoleum and you can see Vladimir Lenin preserved in behind bulletproof glass in Red Square. We know where Her Majesty the Queen is buried in St. George's Chapel in Windsor. Matthew goes to great lengths to show us just how well known this place was. These two women saw where Jesus was laid. They knew where the tomb was. And yet the earliest Christians didn't think it was something that we needed to remember. Matthew doesn't record where it is. More evidence that Jesus really rose from the dead. His tomb didn't matter. It was empty. It is irrelevant. He isn't here, for he has risen, the angel said. When the risen Lord Jesus meets those women, he says to them, greetings. It can also be translated, rejoice. Joy. Be glad. Happy days. And the women fall at his feet. And they worship him. Now, just as wise men from the east came to worship baby Jesus, just as the leper worships Jesus who healed him, just as the Canaanite woman worships the man who knew her, the two Marys grasp his feet, the feet of the one who rose from the dead, and they worship him. He is not here. He has risen. Worship him. Now that should be our response. Not about singing, not just about singing, but about submission. About laying out all before him. Because he is the risen Lord of all. Because if we kneel before kings and queens, how much more do we kneel in reverence and awe and worship before the risen King of life, before whom every knee will bow, the guards fall in fear as though dead, but the women feared him and with great joy they worshipped him. He is risen, worship him. Secondly, 11 to 16, he is risen, don't fear. Money talks in this world, doesn't it? It is power. It buys things. It certainly wielded an awful lot of power that first Easter. The chief priests used money to try to control the situation. So Judas was bought for 30 pieces of silver so that he would betray Jesus. At the end of chapter 27, they use their power to try and keep Jesus secure in his grave. And here in verse 12, the soldiers' silence about what they saw is bought for a significant amount of money. They intimidate, it's sinister, it looks threatening. It can be easy to see their influence, their power, their sway, and be intimidated by it. Because look what they did to Jesus. But as much as they look to be in control of the situation, their authority counts for nothing. They are just an irrelevance as well. Like the guards who fall before the angel in verse 4. And are then utterly ignored by him. The chief priests create a story. They say tell people that the disciples came by night and stole him away whilst we were asleep. That's a creative story. It's one that doesn't really add up. As soon as you start probing it, you can imagine a friend asking them about it. How did the disciples do it? Why didn't you stop them? And the guard said, well, you see that they came at night. It was a bit dark. We were tired, and so we fell asleep. Sleep, all of you. Can you be executed for that? Yeah, I suppose. It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it, for an entire guard to fall asleep on the job? Yeah, so you didn't see anything. You weren't woken up as they crept over your sleeping bodies. No, we were out stone cold. It'd been a really long day. Executing someone is exhausting. We were actually, it's a bit ironic really, we were sleeping like the dead. So you didn't hear anything as that stone was rolled away. Or as they carried his heavy body out the tomb? No, not a thing. And you're absolutely sure it was his followers who took the body? Yeah, absolutely, we'd recognise him anywhere. Hang on, weren't you asleep? You need a better explanation, don't you? No one ever came up with one. The only explanation that fits might be one that defies our expectations. Might be one that makes us uncomfortable. But the only logical explanation for all that happens next is that Jesus really rose from the dead. Don't forget, here is an intelligent man who is writing this book. He was a tax collector. He's an able author, an international bestseller, one of the biggest selling books of all time. He knows dead people doesn't rise, but he is unapologetic here. Jesus really rose from the dead. So don't fear their stories. Don't fear their lies. Jesus says back in Matthew 10, verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Here is heaven's king, sold for 30 pieces of silver, but he never left his Father's care. He has risen. Don't fear them. All sorts of pressure not to believe Jesus really rose, isn't there? There are lots of threats from the world. Even if it's just a belittling, you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, do you? What a joke. Across the world this Easter, many Christians will meet in secret and in fear, because heaven's enemies wield great power. Their authority looks strong. They can do a lot of damage, but they won't win. They can't win, because he has risen. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and if we are to fear anyone, it is him, the Lord of heaven and earth. Finally, 16 to 20, he is not here. Go and tell. Have a look, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. despite the authority that the chief priests seem to wield with their money, all authority has been given to the Lord Jesus. Despite the authority that took Jesus to the tomb, to the cross, Jesus has all authority. Despite the authority that looked to secure him, seal him in the tomb, that so he couldn't escape from death, Jesus has all authority. It is unrivaled. It is unshared. It is a far, far cry from our feeble attempts to add authority, from the chief priests' feeble attempts at authority. They couldn't keep Jesus in the tomb. They can't stop Jesus taking his crown from sitting on his throne and making his enemies a footstool for his feet. He has total authority. Universal, eternal, global authority belongs to the risen Lord Jesus. The sort of authority that enables him to make and keep every single one of his promises. The sort of promise he can keep that says he, after he will die, he will rise again. The angel said, verse 5, "Don't be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said." Jesus does what he says because he has all authority. He doesn't need to buy it. He has it. He doesn't need to fear losing it. It has no boundaries. He is the risen King today with all authority. He is a sort of King who can make you clean, who can deal with your sin. We saw this on Friday. All the times when in your life, when you have lived as though you were at the center of your life. He is the sort of King who can welcome rebels into his kingdom with open arms, as forgiven, as justified, because he takes sin and judgment on himself. Because the death that he died is my death in my place. Because the death, his death, brought about the end of death. Because he rose so that you and I can enjoy new life for all eternity in his physical presence. Because he brings great joy and calls us to rejoice before him, with him, because of him. He has risen, so go and tell. All authority, says Jesus, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Whether you are in the school exam hall or the doctor's examination room, if you're in the city office or your home office, he has all authority. If you're in the playground or the sports ground, he has all authority. In Leipzig and in London, in Lagos and in Lima, in the law courts or in the royal courts, all authority is his. All authority over my life and over your life. Even over those chief priests and elders who spread such lies, who had him killed, who sought to have the truth about him repressed, suppressed. All authority in heaven and on earth. Go and tell. I think that's why Jesus has gone to Galilee. Did you see that verse 16? They meet him on the mountain in Galilee. It's repeated a few times in these verses, in the last two chapters. Chapter 27, verse 55. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary from Galilee. Verse 7 of our chapter. The angel says he's going before you to Galilee. Verse 10, tell my brothers, go to Galilee. Again and again through his gospel, Matthew has shown us that Jesus is the long-promised king, not just of Israel, but of the whole world. He is the king who will reign over all peoples for all eternity. He is the king who comes from Galilee. It is where he is from. It's where he begins his public ministry. And right at the beginning, Matthew quotes from Isaiah 9. We often hear it at carol services. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. See, Galilee is a Gentile nation. It is a place where all the peoples come to. Jesus has risen. He has all authority. He is the risen Lord of heaven and earth over all people everywhere. And so he says, go and tell. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. He has risen. It is a sort of news that makes us fall in worship before him. The sort of news that sends us in great joy. The sort of news that drives out fear. The sort of news that makes us go and tell. Because he is the Lord of every single person you will ever meet. He is my Lord and he is your Lord. Who are you going to tell this week? If Jesus really did rise, if that tomb really was empty, if it is still empty today, if we are to worship him, if we don't need to fear anyone or anything else, who are you going to tell? He is the great light that shines, that blazes on those living in the land of the shadow of death. We need a saviour. We have a saviour. He is risen. His name is Jesus. And this truly is the best news you or I could ever hear. And his authority extends over every particle, over every person, over all things, even over death itself. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you that Jesus didn't stay in that grave. We praise you that he rose again. Father, thank you that his resurrection was verifiable. Thank you for those eyewitnesses who testified to him. Thank you that we can know that it really happened. And Father, we find that really hard to believe. Just like those disciples who doubted on the mountain as they saw him. So would you help us? Would you open our ears and our eyes and our minds? And as you do that, would you bring us to our knees before him? With great joy, worshipping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you help us to fear him alone? And would you help us, would you send us out, that his name would be known across this world, across this city. For his great glory we ask and for our joy. Amen.